From Tidbits on January 7th, 2013, this is Gigabit Internet Just Out of Reach in Seattle, written by Glenn Fleischman. On December 13th, 2012, the city of Seattle announced a breakthrough in a previously shelved plan to bring fiber-based internet service directly to homes and businesses, a partnership with a private firm, Gigabit Squared, and the University of Washington will make use of a fiber backbone that the city has built over many years to serve its own needs, and which it also leases for Seattle-based county, state, federal, and school uses. A previous plan had called for issuing revenue-backed bonds to fund the effort directly. But the service won't initially cover the entire city. Instead, the program will launch in 12 neighborhoods that comprise about 50,000 homes and businesses, and it will be connected directly to individual buildings. This is called Fiber to the Home, FTTH, or Fiber to the Premises. It will also use gigabit wireless over licensed dedicated frequencies to beam service from within the coverage area using highly directed line-of-sight transmissions to nearby multi-unit buildings, like apartments, as well as businesses. There's also a vague description of building a high-speed wireless cloud in covered areas, but it's unclear at the moment if that's Wi-Fi or something else. All these services have symmetrical throughput, offering the same bits per second upstream and downstream. What's interesting about this proposal, as far as it's currently defined, is that it's not a triple play service that includes broadband video and voice. Some firms offer a quad play that adds a cell service too. The play is a baseball metaphor here. A company makes a triple play to win in the business. Most of the citywide fiber efforts to date, whether with private partners or run by cities or appropriate public utilities, have focused on the triple play. But the triple play approach requires provisioning services. Instead of having a big, dumb internet pipe, video gets a dedicated chunk of broadband, as does voice. These provisioned services are designed to provide quality comparable to having a dedicated wire, like cable TV or a hardwired phone line. That's no longer necessary when you have gigabit service, though, or even, say, reliable 25 to 50 megabit per second service. So long as you aren't beholden to the specific 24-hour-a-day multi-channel video offerings of cable and satellite, voice, too, can be easily replaced with Skype, Vonage, and other services. For more on smart and dumb pipes, see new app.net social network Aspires Beyond Chat and Ads, August 28, 2012. Seattle's plan may also be an attempt to avoid too much disruption at once. If the gigabit plan doesn't compete with cable services, Comcast still has a role to play, and, one imagines, Comcast may need to step up its game in terms of pricing and higher-tier bandwidth services, which are offered in some markets. CenturyLink, Seattle's incumbent phone provider, has no plan for fiber to homes and businesses, and its DSL offerings are slow and erratic. It has a fiber to the neighborhood, FTTN, plan that allegedly brings 12 to 24 megabits per second of raw throughput, but it isn't price competitive with cable. Landlines are being rapidly shed by households, and DSL speeds have been unable to keep up in practice with cable modems and can't hold a candle to fiber. For those having trouble keeping track of who is the phone company these days, US West was the baby bell that served most of Washington State as well as a bunch of the Northwest and a few other scattered states. Quest acquired US West and then was itself sucked into CenturyLink. CenturyLink used to be a mostly rural telephone company known as CenturyTel, but it acquired Sprint's spun-off landline business, Embark, and then Quest. Verizon has been urged to sell its landlines too. Landlines are a dying business. You'd think phone companies would be ideally placed to put in fiber to the home, but they all switch their focus to the high growth and profit in mobile voice and broadband. AT&T has its U-verse FTTN, which gets decent reviews, but has only 7 million broadband subscribers out of about 30 million locations to which it's available in AT&T's vast service area, and it isn't growing. The firm's CEO just said that it's more or less done building out the offering. Verizon's FTTH service, Fios, could carry gigabit, but it doesn't. And Fios's 300 megabit per second down, 65 megabit per second up offering costs $210 per month, far higher than the gigabit services in cities that have already deployed FTTH. Verizon also has more or less said it won't build out more FTTH too, with only about 3 million customers taking the service of 15 million to whom it's available. The joy of gigabit internet is unfettered access, of course, but it's not necessarily about today's internet. As I wrote recently in The Economist, citing Cyrus Farivar's Ars Technica coverage, most websites and services currently either can't keep up with gigabit connections or simply don't have anything to fill the pipe. If you need only a few megabits per second to get the best possible HD streaming movie over the internet, gigabit service provides you the overhead to ensure you can always get it, assuming the connection to Netflix, Amazon, or others is clear. For backups and other huge data transfers, transfers, gigabit already shines. No, gigabit internet paves the way for the next big thing, whatever services develop for consumers who always have massive bandwidth available, whether it's super high-quality two-way teleconferencing for remote workers in remote offices, something that can be done with modest quality today, the delivery of Blu-ray-quality video as temporary 50-gigabyte downloads that take just a few minutes or that can be burned to Blu-ray disc for future use, or high bandwidth gaming that provides more real-time interaction at higher rendering resolutions. In the short term, always getting the highest possible speed from any site or service probably suffices. I'm peeved because I don't live in any of the 12 initial neighborhoods, although I'm not far away, a stone's throw from the University of Washington and the north end of one of the large neighborhood segments south of the university. I'll just have to wait and sob over my mere 25 megabit per second cable connection, itself the envy of many in Seattle served only by a second-tier cable firm or CenturyLink. Many of those areas of the city are, of course, getting fiber first, and they will soon be able to lord it over me. At least Jeff Carlson and Agen Schmitz, the other Seattle-based members of the Tidbit staff, aren't any closer to a covered area than I am, or I'd never hear the end of it. This is Tidbits, sponsored in part this week by Barebones, CrashPlan, Smile, and ScanSnap. To follow links, make comments, read related articles, subscribe to our podcast, and get updates via email, RSS, Twitter, Facebook, and our iOS app, visit us at tidbits.com. I'm Glenn Fleischman, and I always transmit at gigabit per second speed.